It's a great privilege to be able to be here to share with you a mother's story. We had put off waiting, we had put off having children for several years. So when I was pregnant with our first, we really looked forward to it. I remember that when I was pregnant, a song kept going through my mind. Some of the words of the song go like this. When Jesus brought you to us, we loved you from the start. You're just a bit of sunshine from heaven to our heart. Not just another baby, because since the world began, he had a special purpose for you in his plan. That's why he made you special. You're the only one of your kind. Now, when David, our oldest, was born, he was definitely special. All children are special to their parents. But he was special in a different way. When he was 2 years old, we discovered that he was autistic. Now, that's not artistic, where you can draw real well, but it's a form of mental retardation, actually quite a severe form. And when I discovered this, I thought there must have been some terrible mistake, that it was some accident. It certainly was not in my plan. You know, how you set aside these plans, you plan when to have children, and somehow you think that you kind of plan what kind of children they are too. And this certainly didn't fit into my plans. In fact, I began to ask, God, where were you? How could you allow this to happen? Why are you doing this to my family? Why are you doing this to my little son? And why are you doing this to me? Well, I remembered that while I was pregnant, I was meditating on Psalm 139. And somehow God spoke to me from those days. I would like to look at it together with you. Psalm 139, we have just read that together. In all my questionings, in all my doubts, it seems that God gave me assurance through his word. Starting with verse 1, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou hast scrutinized my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Could such a God not know what happened? You see, there are no accidents with God. There's no such thing as bad luck. He knew all about it, even before it happened. But still, I wondered, where was he? Starting with verse 7, where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. I knew that he knew everything, and from this passage I knew that he was there. He always was and always will be. But oh, the darkness that surrounded me. As I considered all the bright plans and dreams and hopes that I had for my son, all those things seemed to become dark, and the darkness seemed to overwhelm me. I worried about my little son. What would become of him? What kind of life could he possibly have? Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are like to thee. God knows the beginning from the end. It may be darkness to me, but it's not darkness to him. But what of my son? Verse 13. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. When all things appear to be out of control, God is still very much in control. And I realize that nothing comes into the life of a believer without first coming through the hands of a loving father. I still had not any answers for the question why. I probably never will know until I meet him face to face. But in those days, I really questioned a lot to myself why God would allow this to happen. Was it something that I had done? I tried to be so careful when I was pregnant. Then something worse came into my mind. Maybe it was for some sin that I had done in the past. Oh, there's many. Was God just getting even with me? Why did God allow this? Why? Again, God answered me through his scriptures. In John 9, verses 1 through 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. It was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. When I read this, I felt freed, as if someone had taken a ball and chain off of me. The guilt that I put upon myself went away. From then on, I began to look at my little son as a special gift from God, and I looked expectantly to see God's work displayed in his life. I saw God use this little boy to change my life and to change the lives of every member in our family. The times were very hard. In the beginning, when he was around 3, he used to have terrible fits. He used to cry for no reason at all, for 20 minutes at a time, usually around 5 times a day. And I never would know exactly when or why it started or why it ended. During these times, I experienced God's help. But I learned an important lesson. I learned to not seek the approval of man, but to seek the approval of God. To care more about my son than what strangers might think. You see, I used to take him to the grocery store with me in the States. And sure enough, you know, he'd have one of these fits right in the aisle. And he was sometimes 3, sometimes he was 4 years old. It's pretty big to be having a fit. And I'd have people looking at me strangely, and sometimes they'd make nasty remarks about the way I raised my child. And I'd feel this urge to get my son to, you know, be quiet at all costs. And I had to ask myself, am I really caring more about my son or about what these strangers thought? And God began to teach me not to seek the approval of man, but to seek for the approval of God. Toileting was another problem. He was not trained until he was 5 years old. but not because I put it off. I was trying to train him for a full year, and I put him on the, I would bring him to the toilet every hour on the hour for 1 year before he got the hang of it. From this, God challenged my value system again. What makes a person valuable? I was always raised to think that a person was valuable as he was able to accomplish things. That's why I was always trying to accomplish one thing after another. That's why I would make lists of things to do every day, and when I could cross them off, I'd feel good about myself. But suddenly, I have a son here who takes a full year to learn how to go to the bathroom. Now, does that mean that he's not valuable? You know, many people think today that that's true. That's why they are pro-abortion, because they believe that if you have such a child in your womb, then he is not valuable and you should get rid of him. But we know in Psalm 139 that God has planned for each one in the womb. So God taught me that what makes a person valuable is not what he is able to accomplish, but what God is able to accomplish through him. And if that is true, then this little boy, David, is very valuable and is great worth. My husband Lee also talks about the lessons that he has learned from our son. Lessons of committed love. Learning how to love him regardless of his development or lack of development. Loving him regardless of his response or lack of response. See, many times autistic children are in a world of their own, and when you try to hug them, they resist. And that's a hard thing for parents, for anyone, and it's very easy after a while to not try to hug them anymore. But God began to teach us that we need to love our son no matter what. And so we used to tell him, David, we love you no matter what. And David, who is just beginning to talk now at the age of 10, used to repeat little phrases that we would say. And when we'd say to him, David, we love you no matter what, he would say, no matter what, no matter what, as if to remind us of our commitment. We always tried to give him as normal a life as possible, including him in all that we did, bringing him to church, even though sometimes that would be embarrassing because he'd run up the aisle at the worst times, or taking him to movies or whatever. We felt like we wanted to make him a real part of our family and give him all that we could. Because of this, we never explained to my other two children that there was anything wrong with him. And one day, they kind of discovered it themselves. Now, I knew that one day they'd ask me about it, but I never wanted to think about it, so I didn't. And one day, when they were very little, they came to me and said, Mommy, we noticed that David is bigger than we are, but we can talk and he can't. How come David can't talk? Oh, I just knew that God was going to let them ask me this someday. And so I said, God, help me give them an answer that will help them to see David the way you want them to see him. And so I said, you know, Michael and Christy, I don't know exactly why David is the way he is, and in fact, no one does. None of the doctors do. But you know, God knows. God knew all along. He knows everything about David. In fact, before David was born, when God was making families, he looked down on earth and said, you know, this little boy David is going to need a lot of love. And I wonder which family I should give him to. Should I give him to this family over here? They have a lot of nice toys and a nice home. And my two little ones shook their head violently and said, no, no, don't give them to them. And I said, well, how about this other family, your other friends? They have a really nice mommy and daddy. no, don't let him go to their house. And I said, well, then God looked down and he saw your daddy and your mommy. And he saw little Christy and little Michael. And he said, I wonder if I let David go to their house, will he get the love that he needs? And those two little ones opened their eyes up so wide and started jumping up and down. You would think that they won the lottery. They were so excited. They said, yes, yes, give him to us. And I knew that God had answered my prayer, because he began to show those little ones that David is a special gift to us. Now, you may be puzzled by this concept. How can I talk of something that is, quote, tragic as a gift? You see, whatever problems happen to us in our lives, I think they're really neutral things. Now, every problem that comes into our lives is really neutral, like a retarded child, or poor health, or marital problems, in-law problems, financial setbacks, etc. Our reaction or our response is what makes it a tragedy or a triumph. How can we control our reaction or our response to these neutral things? Well, I think it depends on who you think gave it to you. Was it a loving God, or was it bad luck? You see, if you think it was bad luck, then you'll always look at that situation or that person as a burden, an obstacle in your life, and you will become bitter and resentful. You may either result in two extremes of totally rejecting that person or being totally absorbed in him. Both net out to be a tragedy. Now, if you think, on the other hand, that you're given this by a loving God, then you see it as a gift. And you know Romans 8:28, that it is true. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. And God can enable you to make a seemingly insurmountable obstacle into the very pathway to himself. As I search to find the balance between accepting my son the way he is and trying to give him all the help that I can to help him change, I grow more and more dependent upon God. As my husband always says, the road to God is dependency. The road away from God is independence. Net, it will come out a triumph. You see, only Christians can make an obstacle into a pathway to God, because we know that God is in control of all things in our lives. We know that God is lovingly working all things for good. And we know that God is with us, giving us strength and vision. We have his perspective and his power. After all, it was our master who took his cross and made it into his crown. So I do not see David, our son, as a tragedy. Instead, I see him as one in whom the works of God are displayed. And to the degree that he is, David is a triumph. He is a special child, and we are a special family, not because of anything in ourselves, but because we have a very special God to whom belongs all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen.